Satnam, hello everybody. 4/16/2013, the day after tax day. And we're looking forward to a whole new world opening up to us with this Aries initiation period and the last few desperate attempts of the quote-unquote dark side, or those beings that strive to create a vibration of fear so that they can have power over other people, with the Boston bombing yesterday. As I said a minute ago, we will be working with the Akals, and we're also working with restoring what looked to be basically holes in the aura of the field, the frequency field. So part of what, you know, we're being guided to do today is we're working with the bomb and the people's reaction, and everything actually literally blasted kind of holes in the field of light around the city. So we're vibrationally going to be working to restore that. So as you during this time we have together, and later when you meditate, just go ahead and deep breathe and fill yourself with that frequency of love in your own body, and then feel that body, literally like body of love, expanding to fill in the holes of fear and darkness that God put into the energy around Boston. So that's what I'm being told by our master who's here saying yes. I didn't know this was going that specific. I wasn't seeing that specific image until we started tuning in and being with our master and our masters and guides. But they're saying that we are restoring in this moment. Okay, they're saying thank you. So they needed us to help hold that field, and so now they're pouring light into that area, and we're the grounding rods. We're grounding that in so they can do the repair work that's necessary to fix the frequency field around Boston and the people that experience that shock. So we're releasing the shock right now. Okay, great. So just during this call, and as always, but just again, just keep your long, deep breathing going. And then as you exhale any feelings of shock or trauma that you feel coming up from the field of fear, so to speak, that is being dispersed on the planet. So this was like a last-ditch effort or attempt by those, again, that feed on fear and are stuck in their quote-unquote stuck in their lower frequencies, or as we would say, their first three chakras, and they're not able to bring their energy up to their heart chakra so that they can radiate love out to everyone. So for that stuck energy to be released so that the energy on the planet can continue to move into the higher dimensions, heart chakra, and we can establish the radiant vibration of love on the earth at this time. Okay, great. Thank you. So that was our first assignment, our biggest assignment for today. Thank you. Beautiful. Okay. So I'm getting the nod. I'm getting the nod from the master. The nod, the N-O-D, and the nod, N-A-A-D, the sound current. He's saying, remember that the vibration of the nod is what sustains the world. The frequency, everything's frequency that sustains the world. So he said, remember this, it's the vibration of your breath, the vibration of your thoughts, the vibration of your chants. He's saying you are sustaining the frequency that keeps the world from basically splitting apart. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Thank you. Yeah, okay. So just a couple brief astrological notes. We've been talking a lot about all the fire energy moving from the seven planets in Pisces, six planets in Aries, the conjunction with the Venus and conjunction in Aries, Mars. And this week we have Pluto retrograding. So we've between now and March of 2015, we've been talking about we're under the influence of these Pluto-Uranus squares, and we have these exact squares. The first one was in June 2012. The last one is March 2015. But even when Pluto and Uranus aren't in an exact square, we're still under the tension of those forces. And the Pluto being the depth of our subconscious, basically taking us deeply into those places where we're able to, with Uranus, the planet of individuation and sudden changes and movement, which is an outer planet, a slow-moving outer planet, we have the opportunity to take a bigger view, a Uranian view, looking from a distance at the not only our individual psyches that govern our behavior, but to look at the archetypical patterns under which we've lived on the Earth as different cultures that have basically been in place and we've just been born into them and not even questioned them and maybe been influenced by them. So now we're starting to look collectively and really and be able to see the archetypes that have been controlling our behavior. So as we individuate and regain our individual freedom and claim our individual freedom, which is what this Aries fire energy has been about. It's like when you think about fire has the ability to burn through something, to burn something up, to transform. So Aries fire energy is transformational energy. So we've gotten fired up about burning up that which no longer serves us or transforming unconscious patterns into patterns that are more aligned with the frequency of love, the frequency of each person claiming their co-creative energies. So each person can reclaim their true identity, their divine identity, which is the identity of being divine, so we can be in connection with the divine. So it's not just some idea about, oh yeah, I'm going to be, you know, the cultural archetype or whatever. You're going to be connected with God when you go to heaven, and if you're good, and all that, all those archetypes, all those Piscean archetypes are really powerless archetypes. So this Pluto retrograde really takes us back into the heart of darkness, which is where the unconscious is maybe locked into an archetypical pattern that doesn't allow for that full blossoming of the divinity within oneself. And this is what we're looking at this time. So we have another week, I'm just looking at the day. Yeah, we're in the last period, about the last week of this Aries, get it fired up energy, breath of fire, arms up 60 degrees. Claim your power. You can do that any minute, any time, any day, any minute. But we want to really utilize this last week of Aries to really fire up our dreams, fire up our visions, fire up our sense of self-worth, fire up our sense of self-esteem, and really poof ourselves up like a big puffer fish. And so we can burst these new frequencies into the world. And that's what we're doing right now in this moment. We're birthing these frequencies of protection and light over the fields in Boston, and that's just one example. So this is the time. Really, really practice your breath of fire this week and keep really strong and strengthened in that feeling of what keeps you in your own strength, not separate from everything else, but individuated in a way that you can be present to who you are and the ways that your divinity shows up, as opposed to cultural archetypes that have put, and when I say you, I can mean you individually or the collective you, have put people into certain roles at which they feel they're stuck in and they can't get out of, even if they don't feel it really serves their divine mission or their divine blueprint. And that's what we're talking about. We're breaking up patterns that keep people individually and collectively from their own expression of divinity, that which fires them up and propels them to move forward, propels them to bloom like a beautiful rose in spring, propels them to feel that experience of being one with the divine, the power of their own spirit as being important in the whole hologram of reality that we live in, as opposed to, you know, forgotten peoples or people that feel subjugated or oppressed. And last week we looked at the virgin goddesses, and those are the, according to Greek mythology, those are the goddesses that are inner focused. They're focused on what their own goals and desires are. So they maintain more of a self focus. And according to Greek mythology, there's three types of goddesses: the virgin, the vulnerable, and the alchemical. So this week we're going to talk more about the vulnerable goddesses archetypes. And I really feel that the patriarchal, so to speak, culture on the planet, the Piscean age that we moved out of, has a lot of these kind of archetypes that are just assumed that this is what women have to do, whether all of us have bought into this or not. I feel there's been a really big cultural pull or subconscious programming, so to speak, to pull people into this category of goddesses. So it's really an opportunity to wake up from that dream and know that there's other energies available. And once we can identify what the archetypes are, then we're no longer just living in the soup. We can take a step back from the soup into the observer mind, into the neutral mind, as we say yogically, and have a choice. So that's why we talk about archetypes and identify them, so we can see, so we can have more choices, more flavors to choose from. So we have the vulnerable goddesses, according to Greek mythology, are Hera, Demeter, and Persephone. Hera is traditionally the wife archetype, the goddess of marriage, and Demeter is called the goddess of grain, or she's more the mother archetype, that which nurtures and grows and allows everything around her to grow. She waters the harvest, whatever that is, waters the what's growing so it can be harvested. And Persephone is the daughter, the queen of the underworld. So all of these archetypes have kind of a positive and a negative, where they, obviously, they have beautiful, they're worshipped, beautiful positive attributes, but they're also can be subjugated, dominated. They have more of a diffuse consciousness, which means that if you take the example of, as an example, Demeter, the mother, so when you're in charge of something or you have children as a mother, it's really difficult when you've got little babies or whatever to really find time to have blocks of time when you can have that inner focus on just yourself. So it's a diffuse consciousness where your energy really goes into being aware of what's around you, aware of if the baby cries or aware if this is needed or that's needed. And that really is a whole different energetic experience than a woman who's able to really pull her energy into herself like the virgin goddesses and focus on her goal and be action-oriented and not distracted by external events. So this can really, so this, as an example, this Demeter mother archetype can really be something that permeates a whole woman's consciousness, and she may not even realize that that's what her energy is doing all the time. It's always taking care of other people. It's always making sure the husband gets his needs met, and she's really attuned to when he comes home if he's had a bad day at the office. And she may have worked all day too, but yet she's very attuned to what's happening around her, so she can take care of things so that the grain can grow, so there can be food for everybody. So I really see this. I really see these three vulnerable archetypes as kind of like a really pervasive subconscious patterning that is pretty enculturated, not really having distinctions about and support for girls, women, people that want to take a different path. So once with this Pluto retrograde, it means look inside and look inside what do you want? What's your individuation process? How much do you need to pull your energy in to really focus your goals, shooting that arrow to where you want it to go? And what part of your consciousness do you want to be diffuse and nurturing and giving to others? And it's good to have all the different skills, but to know them as skill sets that can be used at different times rather than to be stuck into the pattern or the archetype is really what we're talking about with this Pluto-Uranus square, this whole period between now and March 2015. It's really a time to unearth the subconscious images that have really kept us in certain patterns that we didn't even know were there. So it creates a kind of liberation. So this square is really looking for that liberation for each one of us out of anything that may be a quote unquote traditional role. So these goddesses are the relationship-oriented goddesses. And so with the relation-oriented goddesses, their well-being depends on having a significant relationship, having a, you know, as the word goes, the significant others. So if that's the highest value, in order for that to be there, it requires a certain amount of that diffuse kind of awareness. But it doesn't have to be all diffuse awareness, but that's the distinctions that we're starting to look at with these archetypes, with these mythologies. And in this mythology, these goddesses were taken advantage of. So there's a very beautiful part, it's a double-edged sword, where they were also worshipped and seen as beautiful archetypes and beautiful beings. But on the dark side, on the underworld side, they were raped, abducted, dominated, and humiliated by the male gods. This is Greek mythology. And whenever they had these significant relationships, whenever they were damaged by them or left or abandoned, they suffered. They suffered a lot. And they suffered the separation of their identity with this archetype. So it's really important to know kind of the light side and the dark side of each archetype and be aware of if we're suffering individually or we see suffering around us, what that suffering is coming from. Is it really coming from, you know, something that's physical that's causing suffering, or is it coming from a psychological suffering? And, you know, when I think of all the TV shows and radio shows and books and all kinds of things that really support women in their suffering, like, oh, my boyfriend or my husband, you know, he went out on me, he had an affair, he did this, he did that, and all the kind of sympathy that the people get for that person acting that way. But if they were more in a virgin archetype, and there was more cultural acceptance for the individuation process, maybe they would be supported in developing themselves more. And yes, maybe they needed empathy or support and a transition through to something that would be more satisfying for them, as opposed to this cultural impact of basically making somebody else outside of them the bad guy, somebody else outside of them doing something to them. So that's, you know, that's something to kind of be aware of, how we participate and how then the culture participates and how the culture supports certain archetypes and kind of puts us in this hypnotic trance where we believe that's the truth. So it's the distinction also with this Pluto retrograde. What's the cultural belief and what's our individual truth? So we're starting to separate the cultural hypnosis from our individual power. So this is a really time of empowerment, this Pluto retrograde with this Uranus square. This is a time of empowerment. And it's a time of going inside and balancing our own masculine and feminine sides, our own electrical and magnetic sides. So the feminine is the magnetic, that which attracts, that which opens to, that which does generate the diffuse radiating light. So it's a light for all to enjoy and feel nurtured by. And the electric side is more the virgin goddess side. The electric side is that which moves us forward, which vibrates at our own frequency, which goes out and goes after our own goals. So this is the time when we bring those archetypes into balance in our own selves. It was interesting because I always kind of like to look at the news in terms of what's happening astrologically and what we're working with. And I was reading this news article a little while ago on the internet about, it's a pretty famous case. You may have seen it or not, but it's an adoption case where a little girl was adopted by some parents in South Carolina, and her mother is non-Native American, and her father is Native American, and so the mother got pregnant. She wasn't together with the boyfriend or whatever he was, with the man, and he wasn't supportive at all during the pregnancy. They weren't even together. I don't even know. I guess he knew about it, but he wasn't supporting her. He wasn't with her. There wasn't a connection. And so the mother gave the little girl up for adoption. And after this all happened, after the child was already with this adopted family, the man hadn't shown any interest, wasn't there to take responsibility for the child, hadn't paid any money, nothing. He decided to file a court case to get custody of the child, and he invoked a law that had put on the books in the early 70s about protecting Native Americans and giving them adoption rights. So it ended up being that at 3 years of age, and this has happened recently, that this little girl, Victoria, was taken from her adoptive parents that she'd lived with for 3 years and given to, I think it happened about a year and a half ago, given to this father. So it's kind of interesting. This, to me, is an example of these vulnerable goddesses. Here, the mother, the Hera archetype, wanted to do something so that this child could be taken care of and be nurtured in a good environment. And then the man comes in and says, no, I have the right to this child. And the man is given the rights to the child, and so who knows? So it goes into this whole confusion and court battles and darkness, and the child's pulled from the only parents that she's known, given to the father, so he has legal rights in the court to have access to the child, but the question is, what's in the highest good of the child? Who can provide the best environment for the child? And that's not taken into account legally. So I just thought that was a good example. This is being battled out in the courts, and that's the discussion. There is a discussion about, should this man have the rights, or should the child have the rights, and what about the mother's rights? So to me, the news is always, or many times, showing us in these news stories the things that we're battling out, that the astrology is telling us, and that we may have our own ways, our own battles that we're fighting, and our own ways that we're looking at the world differently, and that we're reclaiming pieces of ourselves that have been lost in the collective unconscious, that have become just part of us that we didn't even know we were following a certain way, and we didn't even know we had another choice. So this is really about knowing what choices we have, and piece by piece, day by day, breath by breath, reclaiming our divine self, reclaiming all parts of those, and reclaiming our choice to reclaim our divinity. That's what it's about, the choice to reclaim our divinity and not be subjected to anything, any rules that have been decided by, you know, mortal man, so to speak, but to move into alignment with divine truth, higher truth, that which expands us, that which opens the heart, that which creates a higher heart space, that which creates more love for everybody. So that's kind of what we're working with at this time during this last week of Aries. So we'll move into what happened, the bombing in Boston. And so just keep breathing. I'm seeing that I'm being shown by our master, we are impacting that experience. And they needed to reseal the area with divine love and light. It looks like things like that really even, I mean, obviously we know this, but they affect the planet, they affect the electromagnetic balance, they affect the earth, the mother frequencies, the ozone layer, all these different things. It's a lot of ripple effect. So it looks like that, I mean, many people are, so to speak, praying, meditating, intending to bring healing to that area, but I'm seeing that we are influencing and impacting that area and restoring the balance of love back to that area. So that's really a good thing. Just wanted to give you a little minute-to-minute update on that. So just go ahead and breathe. Keep breathing into that, and we're going to just focus for a minute on that, and we're going to move into our Odd Green MA chant. So we're going to do Odd Grade MMA today, and a lot of people, I think after we do the Ong Namo, we tune in with that every day. And the chant that Siri Singh Sab is asking to work with this week is Ad Sahai Hoa, which is the chant for releasing any enemies or the idea of enemies and bringing love to everyone. So I just wanted to put that in while I was getting that information from him, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Ad Garena Me, to God Garena Me, Sat Garena Me, Siddhi Guru Deva Name. Ad is the beginning. In the beginning there is protection, primal connection. The connection is the protection. The connection is the protection.
Thank you.
to all, release to all from all that binds us, keeps us from our true divinity. Inhale, hold the frequency, the protection of the light over Boston, over the U.S., over the earth, and let it go, let it go, let it go. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful session today. The Master is again nodding his head. Thank you, sir. He's suggesting for this last week of Aries, breath of fire, arms up 60 degrees. Sometimes that exercise is called the ego eradicator, but it will build up your aura. Good thing to do the last week of Aries before we move into gentle Taurus, of which I am. Sun sign. So beautiful. Take a breath. Let it go. Would anybody like to share anything, your feelings, experience, anything that you want to say to put out to the world? We have a few more. So we'll allow you to share.
Satnam, this is Sharon. Everything you talked about on the call today was so, just everything that's been happening this past week, you know, everything that you talked about. So it was really cool to hear that. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Yeah, I find it interesting to look at the news and see how the news kind of reflects, you know, in its own way, what's going on astrologically and all that. So, yeah, thank you.
Joe Karen, what I like is being able to call in those goddess energies, and that's something I have been doing the past couple of weeks. In doing the Adi Shakti, I focus on each individual goddess and ask the goddesses what energies did I need to deal with certain situations. And I would find those energies coming into me. I would think over Hestia and Artemis and Athena, and I would pull those energies in as I needed them.
Oh, wow, beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel the power of that. Thank you.
So now we have three more.
We have three more to go. Next week we have the alchemical goddesses. So next week we talk about the alchemical goddesses.
Okay, these three, what did you say these three were?
They're called the vault goddesses.
They're called what?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable, okay.
Right, right. I think, don't you think these are the most pervasive archetypes in the culture?
Yeah. When you speak of vulnerability, are you speaking more in terms of the manipulation that women have had to go through?
Right. According to Greek mythology, these archetypes can be manipulated. There's a light side and a dark side. So the light side is, isn't it wonderful to be a nurturing mother? And the dark side is, the mother can be oppressed by the man, or, you know, Persephone was grabbed and thrown into the underworld, and
mm-hmm.
So it has a light in it. They have a light. Yeah, vulnerable means that they can be taken advantage of.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why we did, not only for what was happening in the world today with Boston and other things, Odd Grain and May, but also the protection. So when we personify or use these archetypes, we can be protected in these archetypes, because we need to have that diffuse divine light going around the planet, but we don't want, you know, like what happened in Boston to happen.
Yeah, I definitely felt the first three more of a taking back my power.
Uh-huh.
So now I realize now that the power is not, we have to test to be defined and how it's used in the feminine light, not in the masculine light.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed, became aware of the fact that there are a lot of men who are very lost, because I think that they are bringing those energies in. Those feminine energies are now coming in, and they don't know where they are with them.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and it's not that it's a female energy or a male energy, but that it is the feminine energy, and they possess that as well, but they don't know how to define that within themselves, so they look a little confused at times, and I've sensed that a lot in a lot of men. And I think that's probably part of what the anger is coming from, too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really well said. These are energies that are just coming more into the planet. So I think that's, yeah, that's a really good observation. Thank you.
You know, it's funny, in the mornings of these calls, I don't know how it is, but I pick up on this mantra that you're going to give us.
Oh, really? That's funny, because
yeah.
I don't even know what mantra we're going to do till right before the call or right when I get on the call. That's why it takes me a minute. Otherwise, I'd have it all queued up on my iPod. So that's pretty funny. You're already picking up.
It is. But I did. This has been happening probably for about the last 6 weeks. It's really
wow. I'm going to call you and ask you what we're supposed to do on the call, because I feel like I get like last minute instructions. Like, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I don't even know whether that's really what it is, but I feel compelled to listen to Ops that he used the whole of this morning.
Right,
so I did.
You did. Fantastic.
That's
beautiful. That's great. I love it. You're tuned in, Linda.
I hope so.
You're on the Divine Channel. Great. And the other request from Yogi Bhajan is to do 3 calls every day, just to keep. He's saying lots of souls are leaving the planet right now, more than we know. And he's saying it's after our Apsahai Holos and Breath of Fire. Arm 60 degrees, if we can do 3 calls, he'd be most divinely grateful. Beautiful. So thank you, everybody. I think we're complete for today, unless anybody else.
Thank you.
Divine love to everybody. And yes, we're being, the angels are also saying thank you, and we're saying thank you to them. So we'll look forward to being connected energetically during the week, and I'll speak to you all again soon.
Sanam.
Sanam. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.